Good afternoon. My name is Carlos Pascual. I'm one of the vice presidents of Brookings. I'm the director of the Foreign Policy Studies Program, and it's a real pleasure to welcome you to this discussion with Irakli Alasania on Georgia, its democratic roots, and its future as an independent state and the future of its democracy. It's a real pleasure to welcome you to this discussion and to welcome Irakli here to Brookings. He, as an individual, is actually a symbolic of a new generation in what is easy to call the former Soviet states, but in fact is something different, and we still are in search of a better name for it. But he's someone who has lived his professional career in an independent Georgia, which is in fact a startling transition and new reality, and it's one that, despite all of the challenges and difficulties that we have seen over the years, is one from which we should take encouragement, that Georgia has gained its independence, it sustained its independence, and that there is now a new breed of young professionals who are accomplished and whose reality is an independent Georgian state, and they will never go back from that independent Georgian state. And so it's, I think, particularly important and appropriate to have this discussion now in the context of how Georgia continues to move forward in the political stream that it began, particularly with the Rose Revolution in November of 2003. Since then, we've seen a number of dramatic events. Many of us remember well in April of 2004, the dramatic events in Ajara, and then when President Saakashvili and his Prime Minister Zurabzhvania, who tragically was later killed in an accident, managed to work through that extremely tense situation to resolve it in a way that was good for Georgia and was understood by Russia. There were many other challenges that proceeded afterwards, including how Georgia continued to refine its own economic reform program and to create a foundation for significant growth, growth in double digits for a number of years. And there have been tensions internally within Georgia, tensions where increasingly the opposition and the media felt that they have not been able to get the kind of open and free voice that they expected under the government of President Saakashvili. And, of course, all of those tensions rose to a new peak and a very dangerous one in August of 2008 with Russia's incursion into Georgian territory and then later declaring Abkhazia and South Ossetia as independent states. And it's in this context in which the opposition in Georgia needs to find its feet and to demonstrate its direction, one in which the reaffirmation of the Georgian state and democracy in the Georgian state has to be seen in context as also being a democratic and a nationalistic move, something which is in fact going to strengthen Georgia as a state rather than challenges as a state. And I think that this is one of the things in which we particularly look forward to hearing from Irakli. Many of us knew Irakli when he was here in the United States. He in fact had served in the United States in the embassy some time ago. He was the Georgian permanent representative at the United Nations. He had previously served as a special representative and negotiator on Abkhazia. He, for someone so young, he's also been a deputy national security advisor and a deputy minister of defense. So he truly has seen the world of international politics, the world of diplomacy, and the world of security issues. And we're extraordinarily pleased to welcome him back in a new context as a politician who has become the head of the Alliance for Georgia and will talk to us about how that alliance sees Georgia's future. Irakli, it's a pleasure to welcome you here.
Thanks. Thank you. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and I really want to thank the Brookings Institution and Steve and Carlos for allowing me to have this opportunity to talk with such a distinguished group of people. And I also want to congratulate our friend Carlos on the nomination to the very important diplomatic post. And as he mentioned, it is very important time and very vibrant time for Georgia to be on the international scene. And we believe in the beginning, I want to make sure that everybody understands that no matter we have some very fundamental differences with the government and inside the society, who is the best political force to lead my country. We don't have any disagreements about internally about where Georgia belongs. We truly believe that Georgia has to be a part of the European security architecture. I believe the foreign policy that was dedicated to integrate Georgia more closely to the Euro-Atlantic community has to be adhered, has to be followed. And certainly we all do agree that the existing threats, especially from the occupied forces in Georgia, has to be viewed in a prism that the only way we can deal with this is through the unified society. So we don't have any questions internally about the Georgia's future as a viable, democratic, and independent state. But, of course, there are a lot of discussions and debate internally now in Georgia about why we ended up in such a political crisis, what can be done to bridge the differences that we have with the government and inside the polarized society about how we proceed from here. For past months, Georgia has been in the center of detention from the Washington and other capitals when we staged in Georgia the peaceful protest, and everybody, a lot of people actually were questioning what is happening, why cannot Georgian society, after the 20 year of such a remarkable and very dangerous path that we took after the regaining of the independence, to sit down really and talk about a civilized manner how we can bridge the differences. But it cannot be taken out of the contest for past years, how Georgia developed, what brought to Georgia the Rose Revolution, how we started the very remarkable and good reforms after the Rose Revolution, and how we ended up that the government today is pretty much mistrusted from the wider part of the society, and why we need the dialogue and the initiated, actually, talks with the government to end up this political crisis and to move beyond the confrontation, and how we see this happening in Georgia. In spite of the tremendous threats that we have around us, especially, again, I want to mention the regional security threats and the threats that is emanating from the occupied zones, I think no one should mistake that the building the vibrant democracy can be only way that Georgia can be stable, that Georgia can regain the characteristics of the strong statehood. And we believe, and my political force believes, that the only through building the true democracy, Georgia can stay relevant to Europe, stay relevant to the United States as a viable partner, and to build the Georgia that my people deserves. At this point, I want to say a few words about how we ended up in this kind of crisis. From the after the Rose Revolution, there was a lot of good reforms initiated in the government, especially in the part of the easing the entrance from the foreign investors, curbing the corruption in the law enforcement agencies, and other reforms that also showed us, the population and those who joined Saakashvili in this endeavor, that we were building the right state, we were building the democratic state, and that's why a lot of us not only supported him, but joined him in this endeavor. He had, and the administration had, a tremendous support from inside, credibility from the international community, and we all felt that it was extremely good opportunity for the country to develop itself as a democratic state. We started very efficient ways of coordinating with the European Union and NATO on our integration process. But the government made one very big miscalculation. And this miscalculation was that by reforming the country and the putting forward the fast-tracked reforms, they started centralizing power in one branch of the government, which was the presidency. By centralizing power in the presidency, it started weakening the other branches of the government, like judiciary, independent judiciary, and we also had problems of the property, that the property rights were ignored. There was a new redistribution of the wealth in the country, and it was done in a manner that really made a lot of people and Georgians not inclusive in the building of this society and new country. For the past 2 years, we've been watching increased concentration of the power in law enforcement agencies, again in the presidential power, presidential institution, and it weakened sufficiently the parliament, which has to have the authority to check and scrutinize the president's decisions and to debate the policies of the government. This led too much into an institutionalized decision-making system around the president. And this, I think, is a core that made reason for the miscalculations and mistakes that government made that offered a tremendous pretext for the Russian Federation to start and implement their own policies to weaken Georgian state. At the same time, our approach towards the conflict resolution issue, which we started with direct talks with the Abkhaz side, offering new ways of bridging our differences and building confidence between Abkhaz and Georgians and the Ossetians and Georgians, failed because of there was too much mistrust between the sides. At the same time, there was a mistrust in the international mechanisms that were employed to resolve the conflict. I would like to emphasize also about the current situation inside the country. The opposition that went on the streets, they had a lot of history of dealing with the Saakashvili's administration. November 7th in 2007, and then the presidential elections, then parliamentary elections, proved to be, for the better part of the Georgia, that the way it was conducted, untransparent way of having the elections, the media that was crashed after November 7th, the outcome of the presidential election when the president missed the threshold of the first round only by 3%, and there was a 23% that it was reported by the OSCE and other monitors that the ballots were reached. It gave the reason for another huge mistrust from the society towards the government. So I believe that after the elections, the president should have changed the course of action, and he should have really concentrated on more sharing of the power with the parliament and also giving the opportunity for the opposition to breathe in a new political space. I believe that the course of action that was taken by the government also towards the reunification of Georgia was misguided, because we all understood that the provocations that were staged by the Russian Federation against Georgia's, and we all remember the provocations around the Tsin Valley region and in Abkhazia, were specifically designed to get Georgia and derail Georgia from its path of integration to the Euro-Atlantic community, to effectively block our integration process, and at the same time also to show and demonstrate to the region that the path Georgia took for them building democracy and being part of European structures is not the path the others should follow. So I believe that when we achieved the certain agreements with the Abkhaz side, for example, when we were negotiating with them the non-resumption of use of force and return of IDPs, it was the good instrument to be used to lessen the chances of the provocation from the outside and to really get the political process with the talks with the Abkhaz side and respectively with the Ossetian side more effective. But this path was not followed. At the same time, what we are seeing today in Georgia is the demonstration of people's will that they want to change things, only change things through the peaceful means. And for 2 months that we had these demonstrations in the city, we came to the conclusion, the opposition and my political force as well, that the only through the street demonstrations that things cannot be changed. And we now took the path to change dramatically our political approach and to transfer this discourse towards more political dialogue. And I believe there is tremendously important to have United States as a partner be engaged in this, because the recently signed charter with the United States and Georgia, it envisaged the very strong structural reforms in Georgian democratic institutions. And the help and assistance that is coming to Georgia through this charter and the allocated money has to be really transferred to the more democratic institution building, and there has to be a very specific benchmarks how and how specifically the Georgian side would be held accountable for the agreements that was forged between the United States and Georgia, and as well our commitments towards the European Union to integrate us more closely towards the structures. I believe that also the recent situation that, as it is at this point in Georgia, really requires a more systematic approach to the dialogue with the government. We had a few meetings that was conducted three times, one with the chairman of the parliament and twice with the president, which have not produced any tangible results at the beginning. And, of course, the situation is dramatized when the incidents like what happened 2 days ago when the independent media also was crashed together with the opposition leaders, and one of my very close associates were badly, brutally beaten up. These kind of things, of course, widens the distance between two sides. But there is no alternative to the dialogue, and that's why we will not derail ourselves from the path that we picked to have more constructive dialogue with the government. I think we realized as the opposition that there is no, it's not possible to change things on our own by only demonstrating in the street. At the same time, there is a more and more realization on the government side, not on the top level, but on the other officials, that by ignoring the what's happening in the streets, by ignoring the political crisis, it's will not give them any chance to resolve this conflict, and these people will not just disappear. So I think there is an opening now, especially after the last meeting with the president and one of the leaders of the opposition, we have to explore. But at the same time, I want to emphasize that the United States as a strong and strategic partner, European Union as a partner, has to be engaging themselves more and more in facilitating these talks, especially when there is such a big mistrust between the towards the negotiating process itself. We need to have the solid guarantors of the forged agreements in the future that the both sides would adhere to. I was having the meetings at State Department and the other agencies here, and I've heard that it was very pleasant talks that the United States will continue assisting Georgia in the democratic institution building as well as building our armed forces and security and defense. And this is very important to have a very strong signal to the region that even after the August war, we are receiving the help and assistance from the United States, and the European Union will be always involved in the Caucasus and in Georgia, especially after what happened a few days ago at the UN Security Council when methodically another international organization's presence was killed in Georgia. We don't want to be left alone without the international monitoring and international credible international security structures in the administrative border with Abkhazia and Tsinvali region, and this is why we have to emphasize now more and more on European monitoring mission and to expand and enhance their capabilities on the ground to deter any future provocations or military escalation. At the same time, we need to keep engaging United Nations, and I believe the resolution that was passed last year at the GA, which calls for the Secretary General to prepare the reports on the status of return of the IDPs, their property rights, their human rights, will be also a useful tool to be used to keep engaged UN, at least on the human rights side, especially in the Gali region where we have our Georgian populated area, which are totally unsecured and under the pressure of the de facto government. So what I would like to see in the future in terms of the conflict resolution, First of all, is to have the credible security arrangements, not to get any more provocations and escalation. At the same time, to have very strong non-recognition policy towards Abkhazia and the Tsikhanouri region, which is sustainable because actually Russian Federation failed to be successful in even persuading their own very staunch support and to recognize Abkhazia and South Ossetia. What they are doing now is building their own military capabilities on the ground and trying to legalize what they gained by the military force. But if there's going to be very strong stand from the United States and European Union on this issue, and I believe they will, and at the same time also support Georgia to become a really credible democracy and sovereign state, I believe this in future we will get a chance to talk with the Abkhaz directly and South Ossetians directly. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. But I truly believe that if we're going to demonstrate that we are solidly on the path of the European integration, Abkhaz and Ossetians will be more leaning towards being the part of Europe with Georgia together rather than stay under the military control of the Russian Federation. Internally, we have a debate, even among the opposition, how we should proceed. There are leaders of the opposition who have more faith in the negotiations. There are people who believe that the negotiations will not lead to concrete results, so better stay and pressure government from the streets. I believe my personal view is that we have to work closely with the international community, but at the same time, first and foremost, to work closely with our own people and constituency. The responsibility for the reforms in the country, of course, lies within the government, but opposition also has to demonstrate that there is more that they're offering rather than removal of the Saakashvili. They're offering very viable, we have to offer very viable substitute and to the policies that failed the Georgian democratic development. Namely, we are intending creating our own party at the same time, have very solid platform for the society to understand what are the fields that the government failed, and its economy and security, defense, agriculture field, and also provide the alternative, how we're going to change these things, how we're going to offer the transformation that will really help Georgian people to get prosperity and to move on to be the part of the democratic community in Europe. So all of this requires that hard work from the opposition side, but also we need to be mindful that the government has to show the political will that they are willing to transform country. What I believe in that also is that when Saakashvili came to power and the administration came to power, the main goal they declared was the unification of Georgia and the bringing Georgia closer to the NATO and even membership of the NATO. Unfortunately, the past years have proved that neither of these goals will be achieved under the President Saakashvili's term. So only thing that can really be remembered for and the legacy they can really leave behind him is to creating a really democratic state and to help to transfer the peacefully power towards the next government only through the election. So I think there is a natural interest to Saakashvili to be engaged in pragmatic talks with the opposition and to have the more space for the opposition to be involved in pluralistic debates. And this gives me the cautious optimism that these talks that we kicked off a few weeks ago will prove to be more successful in the future. I think more and more opposition leaders will be joining me and the other forces to be for the dialogue and to engage ourselves in the issue-based criticism of the government. We're also going to have more and more involvement in the process of changing the electoral environment. And in the nearest future, we're going to present to society and to the commission that was creating the amendments that we would like to see in the Constitution to get the balance of the power between the presidency and the parliament and the judiciary. We're going to have our own, and we already have our own suggestions on the electoral code and electoral commission. And I think the very important thing as well is to have the civilian control of the law enforcement, to distance them from the political process and electoral process. If these three areas will be covered by the government and the opposition and will come to the understanding, then, of course, It's important to get the agreement on the new electoral calendar. And what I mean by that, we have to negotiate with the government how will it be best to bring these political forces, those who are more strong, into the parliament and to continue debates and to take this discourse from the streets in the parliament when we can really then have the checks on the and scrutinize the policies the government is making. So I believe the fall, which will be very tough on Georgia's economy, if these agreements will be forged with, between the government and the opposition, then we're going to have a lot of enthusiasm and the potential combined from the opposition and from the government to face the challenges of economic nature, face the challenges that we are having security-wise from the occupied forces. And I think it will make Georgia stronger than rather than weaker to really create the pluralistic environment that will really be the base for the democratic Georgia. Overall, the situation is getting tense, on the other hand. The incidents like, as I mentioned a few days ago, when they brutally beaten up the opposition rally, and the incidents before that as well as the parliament, when the some of the young people actually went more aggressive and they attacked the car of the chairman of the parliament. This cannot be allowed, of course, and we all condemn this kind of acts. But we have to be mindful that so far there was no accountability from the government on the attacks that happened for past 2 months and the roundups and the arrests that the police was actually conducting against the members of the opposition, which no explanation why they were rounded up, why they were beaten up. So this is also fueling the mistrust between the government and the opposition. But nevertheless, we should not be derailed from the political process that we choose. And I believe that the process will be joined by the other opposition leaders as well. And the government has to be put in a position internally and from the friends and the honest strategic partners from the outside that the only way we can deal with the crisis and we can overcome this should be on a negotiating table. In general, I also want to touch the U.S.-Georgia relationship in more specific way. I believe that this strategic partnership charter, again, that was signed in January is a very useful tool for the United States and Georgia to transform the process more in a more institutional way and to really have the assistance of United States and European Union, and later we're going to talk about this as well, be more focusing on the concrete results we want to achieve, especially on the media side, especially on the electoral environment side, also building Georgian security and defense, and at the same time help Georgia to avoid and to be more prepared for the economic crisis that's going to hit us in fall by all. The predictions that we have indicates that. On that, I might leave the room for the questions, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions you have. Again, thanks for inviting me, and it's very privileged to be here and to discuss the very important issue of Georgia within among this distinguished crowd. Thank you.
Irakli, thank you, first of all, for a very cogent explanation of both what's going on inside Georgia, but also some of the key foreign policy challenges that Georgia faces. And to start things off, I'd like to pose one question for you. You've talked about, I think, a fairly difficult situation, but on the one hand, trying to have a rigorous democratic debate within Georgia, while also the importance of maintaining a united front vis-a-vis Russia. And I wonder, obviously, Russia's a player, the United States is a player. Europe, how do you see the reactions in Europe to this effort? What sort of policies are you looking for from the Europeans? who I think have had a hard time over the last year sorting out exactly how to engage Georgia. So what's your view in Tbilisi from there?
Well, up to this point, the European Union and its special representative and the European representatives are all engaged in this mm-hmm. process. Well, the President Sarkozy, as a presidency, they were very hardly involved in and contributed to forging this agreement that Russia and Georgia signed later to put the end of the armed confrontation and then to proceed to the de-escalation and demilitarization of this two Georgian regions. And I think in the future we have to emphasize on the agreements that were forged on the 12th of August. At the same time, European Union also pledged a lot of support, financial support to Georgia after the August war, and I believe that we have to utilize these tools that were provided to us to build the democracy inside the country, but also strengthen other state institutions. We appreciate the help that is coming from both the United States and European Union. There was a hesitation from some of the countries of European Union to continue engagement with Georgia in the face of the confrontation with Russian Federation, but nevertheless, this hesitation was passed. I think stronger policy from the United States will be very helpful, combined with the leadership of some of the European states, to be very tough on the Georgian territorial integrity, non-recognition policy. And the Georgia agenda on the strategic discussions with Russia. And I think this is pretty much sustainable. Georgia, survived the pressure from the Russian Federation to other allies to recognize Abkhazia and Skhinvali region. And we have to more be focusing on strengthening the European monitoring mission to, again, prevent any escalation from happening in the conflict zone. So I don't see the damage that was done to Georgian credibility in August can be a factor now in preventing from the Europe to be engaging Georgia in that regard. But at the same time, if Georgia will continue in Georgia leadership being increasingly autocratic, of course the appetite in Europe will fall to continue supporting Georgia. That this is why democracy and democracy building in Georgia is very much interlinked with our security. How are we going to provide our security? The only way to be relevant again, to stay relevant to European Union and the United States, is to be truly democratic in nature. And that's why we are demanding the change not only in personalities in the government, but the nature of the government. And that's what we want to offer to our society when we're going to stage the campaign in the regions on a grassroots level with my party and other partners to explain. So I believe overall the future of Georgia lies, of course, with the European security architecture, being a credible partner and a neighbor in the region, try to rebuild the neighborly relationships with Russia Federation as well. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen overnight. We all understand that. And the only thing that we can improve the relationship with Russia is also to have the Russia to uphold to its international commitments to withdraw from the occupied forces. That's why it is tremendously difficult for this government, Saakashvili, to achieve these goals. But during the transformation, and we are looking forward in Georgia, I think eventually the Russians will pull out from the occupied zones. It will take time again. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fast. But international pressure to uphold Russia to the international commitments, especially the August 12 agreement, and firm non-recognition policy will be key to achieve this.
Okay. Well, let's open up the floor to questions now. Please wait for the microphone right here in the third row. And if you could state your name, affiliation, and please have the question end up with a question mark.
Okay.
At the
end. Yeah, I won't make a statement. I'm Ross Harrison from Georgetown University. And my question is, you've outlined the steps that your group has taken to curtail or counter or roll back some of the concentration of power that has aggregated at the presidency level. Can you speak to some of the particular responses that the regime has, how they have responded to your initiative? How effective has your initiative been in terms of response of the presidency?
Well, unfortunately, you remember that the first time when President mentioned the new wave of democratic changes, it was in September 2008 at the GA. But since then, no step was taken really to achieve any changes in the independent judiciary, electoral system, other fields of democratic nature. Not until there was the declared that the protest would start on 9 of April. So in a sense, it forced the government to be more proactive in offering the changes. At the same time, we don't see any concrete proposals from the government side except just creating the commissions about the constitutional change and about amendments and about the electoral code. So why I see the process has the potential, because before that, there was no direct channel of communication between the government and the opposition. We were blaming each other. We were coming out in the streets and talking about the changes we want to have. Government was just on the TV and through the national channels declaring that they're ready to talk, but no concrete suggestions were made. But after the meetings, we laid our positions in front of each other. And nobody expected that the three meetings would have been enough to square out our differences. So sustained dialogue, sustained channel of communication will get us to the point when we can agree on certain things. And the most important thing is independent media, changing the electoral code and commission, and distancing the law enforcement from the political process. These are the three things we're prepared to work with the government, and of course it should be a part of the package to change the electoral calendar later to approach the general elections. Only this way I see the political crisis resolved and to build a more inclusive political process when the other opposition parties will be joining in.
In the front row here.
I am Robert Krause with Quatrex Energy. Mr. Ambassador, I was working in Georgia back in 2003-2004. After Abashidze packed his bags to go live with Lushkov, many serious Georgians and bright Georgians suggested that the best way to get reunification with Abkhazia and South Ossetia was to provide economic incentives so that they would want to reunify. Now, you made a remark about movement toward the European Union and providing some sort of an incentive for the Abkhazians and South Ossetians to come back to Georgia. Do you have any concrete proposals on the economic incentives for reunification?
Thank you. Well, yes, the part of the strategy that we devised in 2005, new approach, so to say, to conflict resolution issues, was first to get the direct talks with the Abkhaz to gain the confidence with each other, and to offer not just politically motivated, political status-related talks, but also talk, first of all, about economic and other humanitarian and cultural projects that will get people-to-people interaction more efficient. And part of that was reopening the railroad, and we almost started a project when the assessment team was also sent in Abkhazia to assess the condition of the railroad. And we were thinking about also opening up the market from the Georgian side to the Abkhaz. But unfortunately, the lot of circumstances, mistrust, and all of this played in hands that we were not successful in achieving this. So in the future, of course, I do believe that there's the real process of the reintegration can be started with offering the Abkhaz and Ossetians alternative they don't have at this point. But to have this alternative, Georgia has to be economically stronger. And unless Georgia is a democratic state, unless Georgia has the free market, and there is no interference from the government and the business and development, and the business and investors will have a confidence in investing in Georgia, of course we will not be attractive to Abkhaz and Ossetians. So again, everything comes to decentralize the power and the presidency, to have more inclusive democracy, which can help to rebuild the Georgian economy, and then, of course, together with Abkhaz and Ossetians, try to be part of the European Union and European community. Of course, it's easier to say than done, but we had the talks with the Abkhaz. I was representing Georgia and really see potential there. Of course, August war complicated things, But when the illusion will fade away in the Abkhazians and Ossetians that they can be truly independent because their non-recognition policy will be sustained, I do believe so, then I think there's going to be more concrete things to talk with the Abkhazians and Ossetians, how be a part of the mutually interesting projects, economic projects and others, that they can be part of the more wider European community. So that, I think, is in the future. And I strongly believe that this is possible.
Okay. Question over here.
Thank you. Nina Giappetti, the Georgian Association. It seems that in the recent crisis in Georgia, Washington has been detached. We've been watching, waiting for the internal process to work itself out. And we've been hearing various reasons why that's happening. Some say it's because, thank goodness, Europe is involved now. It's been long waiting for European Union to be engaged in developments in the Caucasus. Second reason that we hear often is that the opposition outside of the parliament hasn't really requested the role of the United States to act as a mediator in this crisis. Have you had opportunities to bring this point to home here in Washington, to various bureaucratic institutions here? Thank you.
Thank you. Well, from the very beginning of this crisis, we've been talking with the United States representatives locally and here as well with the European Union's representatives to be engaged more actively in restraining the government and also giving the opportunity for the talks to reappear, because the main distraction of the talks was the huge mistrust between the to the negotiations and between the parties. So we felt that if there's going to be trusted mediator, facilitator, and then guarantor of these agreements, that the people will be more comfortable with the talks, so with the government, and it will really elevate the trust between sides. I believe personally that the mediation from the United States side in a mediating role, I don't believe that is what we want. I think we need more support than facilitation of the talks, because truly the talks and the positions that we want to work on with the government has to be internal political process. Ourselves, we have to learn to communicate, to talk with each other, and to find ways out. But if we're going to have the trusted guarantor of the agreements, like United States and European Union, then, of course, this all thing will be easier to achieve. So what I talked with the United States officials here is to be more actively engaged in facilitating these talks, encouraging the two sides, and then, of course, be monitors of the forged agreement between two sides. So I think this will enhance our own capabilities and our own belief in the talks and each other. And, it will elevate, the importance of the international community's assistance and the help that they're providing to Georgian state, because it was very clearly stated by the officials here and by European Union officials as well that what they're doing is helping Georgia and Georgian nation, not the Georgian, any political force in Georgia. It is very instrumental and important to have this declared by both United States and European Union. So I see them as a part of the process. I see them as facilitators, as a guarantors of the agreements that will be made by the opposition and the government, not actually as mediators in this. And at a certain point, I would like to see the high-level special envoy from the United States to get the agreement that will be forged between sides guaranteed.
The woman here in the third row.
Hi, Manos Harrison. Thank you for the wonderful explanation. I'm going to ask a very hard question for somebody who daily reads the news that's coming out of Georgia. Sure. And quite distraught into what I see. I'm asking you to tell me when one can expect the street demonstration, for lack of a better word, end, and what has Georgia as a nation had gained as a result of this street demonstrations, when you see the economic situation, downturn economic situations in Georgia being three times more than what's in the rest of the region, and when you're looking at really destabilization in the country and lack of interest in the outside world wanting to invest in Georgia and the sort of all of this. So that I'm interested in knowing that when can one expect Georgia will return to something that could be more appetizing to want to invest in and what have you. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, well, it's not that tough question in a way because we already started the process of moving the street protests into more political process. And we opened up the opposition, opened up the streets, and the cells were removed from better part of the occupied, so to say, the streets. So I think we made the steps to acknowledge to the government that we are coming to the negotiating table with a good faith. At the same time, from the government, there was some kind of offers which was a lot of criticism towards that. They're offering some posts to the opposition inside the government. Of course, the coalition government is not the viable answer at this point. But of course, this is something that we are moving and we are looking forward for. And these steps are already made. I also want to answer the question about the economic situation. The April events was not the cause of economic problems. It is actually the result of the failed policies in economy and the security that the government was following for past year. And the drop in the FDR started foreign direct investment before even the August war. And August war actually was the key in dropping that the attractiveness of the Georgia for the foreign investors. And of course, one of the main points as well is, as I pointed out, the points that the property rights are not guaranteed properly. There is no arbitrary court. There is no free judiciary. This all contributes to the investor confidence rather than just rallies in the street. Of course, the political instability is playing its role in that. But then again, it's more reason for the government to be really meaningfully engaging itself in the talks, not just for the cameras what they're offering, but also be really showing the political will they want to engage. And the ignorance that was coming before that from the government only widens this, so to say, gulf between the society and the government. So I believe that the economic hardships will continue, but if we're going to get this political, so to say, agreement with the government, it will be a lot easier for us as a nation to stand in front of these challenges and to overcome these challenges. So in the nearest future, if the talks will continue, and I do believe it will continue, we will see the end on the street protests and transferring all this discourse into for a meaningful political process.
Hi, my name is Ryan McCarty. I'm from the office of Senator Jack Reed. My question was actually on your political focus, that you're moving into your political focus. Is there a plan or is it part of your plan to go out and get people in your organization into the parliament, into the government essentially, so that you can go to the current administration and you talked and say, we have the will of the Georgian people behind us, we have, this is our opposition party, we're growing strong. Is that part of your focus? And if not, why not?
This is exactly what we intend to do. And this is why these coming months will be used from our side to go out in the region, to go out in the grassroots, explain to the people which have lack of information because of the controlled national media what is happening and why we need to change what we are asking. And the key here will be what we're going to offer them. Opposition was had made mistakes in the past. Not because we were just demanding the change, but we were not offering the viable alternative. And this is exactly the point of transformation that we're seeing now. We're going to be more critical on the issue-based things, and there is a lot of issues in every field of the governance that we are looking at the crisis. So we have to come up not only with the critical remarks, but also we have to come up with the concrete proposals, even to the government, for them to see that this is how we see things should be done. And again, we are focusing now to go outside the capital, to work with the people on the ground. And I think Georgia is a small state, and we will cover most of the regions in pretty fast nature in a couple of months. and building our own political structure in the regions, as well in the capital, of course. So, yes, this is our intention, what we're going to do.
Bruce.
Ambassador, you mentioned in your remarks that some of your supporters were beaten up recently. Can I ask you an issue-based question on the use of force in Georgian society? In the early days of the revolution, force was used in Ajaria, and your courageous work at Penghisi in getting the criminals out. And the United States applauded that, and it was completely justified. But more recently, there have been disturbing reports of use of force from the presidential side against critics, civic society, opposition, media, and obviously the military response to Russian provocations was nothing any. Something nobody wanted. Can you comment on this tendency or this trend in Georgian politics and its association with the president?
And that's true that we are observing this very dangerous tendency in the oppression and politically motivated arrests and abuse and harassment of the opposition. Recently, my very close associate was beaten up, and he's in a very difficult health situation, and there was also for past 2 months there was more than 80 incidents when the protest rally members and participants were beaten up by the unformed masked people, and we don't really know who these are, and these people are associated and under the direction of some of the governmental branches, and yes, this is a tendency that we are observing, and we are also informing the international community, and the human rights organizations are well informed about these issues, and I know that the this government here in Washington is raising this in talks with the government. I think the most dangerous part of this is that when you're going to indulge the group of people on your side to go and attack someone, then this group will demand from the government some things that they're going to have, for example, some things of the criminal nature, and they're going to get obligations. The government will have the obligations towards these groups. And this can be easily translated into civil confrontation, because those who are abused by them, they might be attacked back from those people who were attacked. So this will really translate the situation in a more explosive situation. And this is why our demand right after these kind of attacks was that this is urgent need to sit down and negotiate with the government. The commitment from their side that they're not going to use abusive force against the demonstrations and political opposition. And international community and United States as a partner can be very instrumental in stopping this. So far, this is still continuing. The incident I mentioned just happened day before yesterday. And there was attack not only on the political opposition, but on the media. They confiscated the cameras, they confiscated the tapes. And in reality, this is the most dangerous escalation that I've ever seen for past months and days. So again, the restraint that we need to see from the government side is not there. And they are losing the control of some of the groups they feel they controlled who are attacking the protesters. So this is one of the main issues on the negotiating table with them.
Yes, Bill Jones from Executive Intelligence Review. Irakli, good to see you again.
Great to see you.
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that President Saakashvili, one of the things he would not achieve in his presidency is this NATO expansion, Georgia being a member of NATO. And I would like to ask you, isn't this really, for all practical purposes, a dead issue at the present moment? I can tell you the reaction that people had after the August events, interpreting, you know, Saakashvili's actions as something of a provocation, that the question was, what would have happened if Georgia had been a member of NATO? And that a lot of people drew back after that as a result of that. And given the task that you have set yourself, if there were new leadership in terms of trying to deal with the situation of Ossetia and Abkhazia and creating some kind of a rapport with Russia, isn't that NATO really on the back burner for some time to come?
Well, on NATO, I would first say that this is the choice of Georgian population and citizens, which was decided on a plebiscite a year and a half ago. So it's not something that only government was going and approaching the NATO for the membership, but it was the public demand to have Georgia part of the Euro-Atlantic community. And I believe that the August war derailed us a little bit from the being more efficient in getting closer to NATO, but at the same time, after the war, the NATO-Georgia Commission was created. And I think the process itself of being in the process of integration helps us to transform our security defense architecture to be more compatible with the Western partners. I don't think that the war should be used and Russian factor should be used to block Georgia's aspiration towards the NATO. How this is going to play out and to what extent we will be getting closer to NATO is depending on the process. But it's very important to make everybody understand, and especially the occupying force in Georgia, that they have not and will not have a say in deciding whether Georgia is willing to join this military bloc or not, and also the NATO, which extended its offer at an open door to Georgia, that will not be blocked for offering this kind of thing to the free state, the independent state, because Russia is unhappy with that. In terms of the Russia-Georgian relationship, as I mentioned, at this point, there is not much room for flexibility on both sides unless Russia will be upholding its international obligations to withdraw from the occupied occupied territories. But in future, I do see that the long-term stability in Caucasus for Georgia as well for Russia cannot be achieved unless we have some kind of modus operandi with Russia. So definitely, the improving relationship, neighborly relationship with Russia is very important, but not on the expand on Georgian territorial integrity and our sovereign right to pick and choose which organization we want to be a member of.
Thank you. My name is Georg Kvelashvili. I'm associated with the Jamestown Foundation currently. Mr. Ambassador, thank you for your very nice presentation. I have a question. You omitted several points that have been developing recently. That's not only attacking Georgian parliament members and the chairman of the parliament's car, but also attacking the police precinct and also engaging other lawful actions that opposition activists have been engaged recently. Blocking roads and many other things constantly for 2 months. And my question is not only about that. You might comment on that if you wish. But a second most important thing that I believe it's true that there is a crystallization within the opposition of a big, big group that's very anti-Western, very anti-American. Some of them made comments against the U.S. ambassador in Tbilisi, and some of them against Czech Republic and also French ambassador using offensive words and so on. Many of them, in fact, describe the war last August as the war that Georgia started. I want to ask you this question. I understand your moderation. I appreciate that. But why would you never comment on your colleagues' openly anti-Western and anti-democratic sentiments? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. First of all, what happened at the parliament was condemned by the most part of the opposition leaders and myself as well. I said that it is unacceptable, it shouldn't repeat itself. And I think it was also well received in the society because nobody likes when the officials are personally attacked, and this is something that we will never allow our supporters to do. At the same time, you have to understand that for 2 months the protests in nature have been peaceful. And there was no major incident except what happened at the police precinct when one of the artists actually claimed over the fence. But the reaction from the government was not proportional. I mean, they could have arrested this man. They should not let them in. but using the bullets that they used against the peaceful demonstrations outside the fence was not the right answer, I think, to the situation. At the same time, we are totally against all the violence in the streets, and that's why our involvement in the street actions was predominantly, so to say, because of to make an impact on the processes to go it through a more peaceful way. And a lot of my associates, other political leaders, were doing precisely that thing when joining the opposition, which were demonstrating in the streets. And fundamentally, this is right of the Georgian people, to, and it's a constitutional right to demonstrate, to express their disposition towards the government policies. Now we are entering the new phase, the phase when we see that what happened in 2 months was the demonstration of that, so to say, feelings towards the government policies, but at the same time we understand that now we have to focus more on the political process and the dialogue. That's why the roundup on the street action side is visible now in Tbilisi. There are a lot of streets are open, and more political leaders are talking about the dialogue. Those who are anti-Western, as you characterized, these are the people who they have their own opinion they can express, but I don't see any popular support towards that kind of criticism against the United States. The United States is widely seen as a most credible strategic partner who actually helped us from the beginning of our regaining of statehood in the early 90s, but who was very vocal to support Georgia after the August War. So I don't see any dangerous anti-American sentiments growing in Georgian population. There are people who will criticize the United States. There are people who are criticizing the administration here as well. But it doesn't mean that we have to galvanize this and to talk about this and to criticize those who are doing this kind of making this kind of criticism toward the United States. I can say that some of this criticism is founded in the unbalanced way that some of the diplomats actually approach these statements. For example, when you're talking about that how damaging it is when the parliamentarians are attacked. Of course, we have all right and reason to do that, but at the same time, they expect those who are critical, the diplomats will be that vocal and expressive when they see 80 cases of the brutal attack on the demonstrators. When they see, for example, political leader beaten up like they did 2 days ago. So the people expect that the diplomats will also be that decisive in condemning this kind of attacks, which we don't see often. So I can see where this criticism is coming from, but the personal insults towards the diplomats and the respective actually representatives of Czech or French or United States, it's of course it's not the right thing to do, and nobody in the responsible political circle will approve that.
The back there. Well, if I got you correctly, you were asking how I see the more civilian control over the law enforcement agencies, right? Well, that's, as I mentioned, this is one of the key issues when we are talking about creating new opportunities for the opposition to be successful in an electoral process, to create the electoral environment in which they can compete. And the law enforcement is one of the central issues here. Because as too much power is concentrated in the presidential institution, there's even more power concentrated in the law enforcement ministry, which is Ministry of Internal Affairs. Counterintelligence, counterterrorism, law enforcement, border guards, all the operational resources are allocated inside this ministry. And there is no, I would say, absolutely no control
from the even parliament, not only talking about the civilian control over this agency, that can really demonstrate how they're using these operational resources. There are a lot of facts that the opposition leaders, opposition members of the opposition are monitored, their cell phones are tapped. So all of this really needs to have the serious discussions over the oversight of over this ministry. So this is why this is the key issue that we're talking with the government. This is a key issue we're also talking with the friendly governments about. And I believe that unless this situation will be changed, unless we're going to see the will, political will from the government to change this, to have more oversight over the operational and intelligence resources that these people, this agency is using against the political opposition as an oppressive mechanism, then of course the faith in the negotiations will not be there. So that's why this is so much important to get it right if we want to get to the resolution of this political crisis.
Okay, I think we have time for one last question. Let's go right over here.
Maria Barlett, University of Florida, formerly of Sacramento. I'm going to ask the same question I asked in Tbilisi in 1991 to a group of the then opposition to President Gamsakhurdia, which was this. Which would bode better for Georgia's democratic development to wait until Saakashvili, President Saakashvili's time is just legitimately up in his administration, or to take him and throw him in the river? Which would
the answer is very simple. No, we will not take him and throw him into the river. What we want to do is to change the system and nature of the governance so we can have more opportunity as an opposition to develop ourselves, to have more inclusive democracy, to have the opportunity for the opposition to get the free and fair election, to get to the parliament and scrutinize his decisions from the parliament. Of course, from the very beginning we stated, we're looking forward for the change in the government, but not the military overthrow or any ways that we can be viewed as an overthrow in the government. We will not have this happen because we have the terrible and tragic history of 90s. So again, our main political goal is to get the political process running, help the opposition and the society to be included in this political process, and of course the other things can be negotiated when the government on the negotiating table. This is what we look forward to that. And I want to make sure that I got it right here that I do believe that the process will be successful. I think that the new administration from here will be very instrumental in getting this process in a more efficient way through the help and assistance we're going to get from European Union and United States as well. But the main decision maker here is the Georgian people. And we have to allow them to be part of inclusive democracy through changing the institutions. And we are not here to change the persons in the government. We're here to change the nature of the government by including the opposition and other stakeholders in this process. And I do believe that Georgia will emerge more stronger rather than weaker from this political crisis. Thank you.
Irakli, you've done an excellent. You took an excellent speech, and you complemented it with a series of very clear and straightforward answers to a wide-ranging set of questions. It's just like what we would have here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for the crowd.